Keep going, Jimmy. Keep playing this.
I'll tell you what, I still haven't forgiven them for that game. Like,
here's the best part. It's the best thing to come from that terrible game.
It's unbelievable. It doesn't end.
It's longer than the actual song.
Oh, no, tremendous. Hardy, that's an oldie but a goodie. And part of the thing of these games, you know, so the weather is mid-30s, overcast, looks like a good day. You know, one thing that does bug me about these games is you will get switching sides halfway through the third period because there's wind.
Right.
Or switching, you know, a 10-minute mark of a period because there's puddling on one side, or they've had to do that from time to time. They've had games delayed because of glare, you know?
Oh, right, yeah.
Sure.
Which doesn't look like we're going to have any of that today, which is good, but that does get annoying on these games.
So, look, I also think, though, there is a kind of a cool element to it. And we were talking about this on the way over here. I want to say it was like Pittsburgh and I can't remember.
Buffalo, the first one, where there was snow.
In the snow?
Yeah.
And the puck was getting stuck in the
snow?
Yeah. I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. Annoying as all hell.
Yeah.
But, like, oh, my gosh, look at that. They can't even pass the puck. It's getting caught in the snow. So, look, I like the aesthetics of it, too. I do. And I'm not joking. That game at Gillette, three years ago now, that game, I will never forgive the Bruins for that. No, as much as it was a regular season game, that was one of the most wretched dog crap performances in Bruins history.
Thank you.
Boy, did that game suck. They were awful that day.
That was the classic Claude Julien wet fart Thursday night home game. That was...
Was that bad.
And they did it on the highest rated day in hockey, you know?
My recollection is they couldn't get the puck. Remember, Montreal had the puck the whole game. It was unbelievable that the Bruins couldn't touch the puck in that game. And the other thing is this popped into my head and I was saying it during the break. Like, when I really think about it, why did they have the game there at all? Gillette Stadium, there's no history at Gillette Stadium in terms of, like...
Yeah, but Fenway had so many bad angles depending on where you were sitting, you couldn't do it there again.
Okay, so I know they wanted to host it a second time. I'm just saying that, honestly, Bruins shouldn't have been in it right away again. Like, you know, and I say right away, a matter of years. Gillette Stadium shouldn't be the venue there.
Can I tell you something, honestly?
You liked it.
I liked Gillette better than Fenway.
I did, too.
I thought it was a
way
better day.
More.
It was a better day.
Oh, my God. The seat that I had at Fenway would have been perfect for a baseball game right behind home plate. I couldn't see a damn thing.
Oh, to me, it's about the building. Like, the fact that they're doing it here now, like, I say, okay, here you go. We're talking Notre Dame.
Okay,
like,
but
that's something.
But it's better in a football stadium. And we are now going to be joined here at O'Rourke's in South Bend by the owners of the Boston Bruins, Charlie Jacobs, Jeremy Jacobs, joining us here. As we're just getting set up. Charlie, how you doing?
Happy
New Year.
A real pleasure.
Jeremy.
Have a chip if you want.
Jeremy, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Are you guys buying?
Yes, we're buying, yes.
That's the only way we're getting out of here.
Chips on us. All right, so the Jacobs have just arrived. We were just talking about this event, Jeremy. Your thoughts on the Winter Classic as a product for the league?
I think it's a celebration of our sport. It's the right time of year. We own the day. Now the commissioner's done a great job in promoting it. And when we can take it around the country like this, I mean, this is a great this is a great spot for it.
Do you think it's softened at all? You know, the tickets are available today. You know, it's been a soft ticket market. Is that an indication that this has run its course or it's been oversaturated with the Stadium Series? Do you have any thoughts like that?
I wasn't aware that there was a lack of interest in it. I know we've held it around the country, like I say, and we're almost always sold out. I remember the first one in Buffalo was unbelievable. I couldn't believe that they sold 60, 70,000 tickets. And when we came to Boston, we certainly didn't have a surplus there. And I don't believe it would be soft here. I mean, this is Chicago. This is a tremendous hockey market.
You know, it used to be, and I don't know what it is now, but TV ratings. Didn't this game used to outrate a lot of the playoff games, you know, nationally?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this one of the highest-rated hockey games in the entire year?
Well, I think about it's not a highly competitive date, so to speak, other, you know, in in other sports, and I think we own this time. And it's been great for the sport, as I say. And it showcases us. And historically, they've been pretty darn interesting games, to be honest with you. I mean, it's interesting not just because of the game itself, but the environment that it's involved in. I mean, where have we ever taken a game and said we have to shoot out, put it at one end?
Right.
When have we ever stopped and changed four times instead of three times, you know, the direction we're going in? So it's interesting.
So you mentioned the venue, and you say it's a great venue for it. It's one of the most historic stadiums in America. Have you ever been in there?
Yeah. Have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
I have. You know, I'm just wondering if you've ever been in the stadium.
It's a classic stadium, and it's got its own mystique. It brings a different dimension to it. Let's play the game in there and see how it goes.
Jeremy Jacobs, Charlie Jacobs. Charlie, I'll ask you this one. Have you, as a franchise, started to bid on hosting another game? You talked to Cam about this earlier. Have you actively pursued the league about getting another game back in Boston? And is there anywhere you would play other than Fenway or Gillette? And if you could pick the venue, Fenway or Gillette, where would you have it?
Well, we've been campaigning. This is what, the 12th Winter Classic this year? I think it's biased that we haven't been in all 12, frankly. This is our third one. Chicago's fourth. Love to have it back in Boston. I think the numbers financially were better at Gillette. I think the game itself, in terms of intimacy for the game and the fans more particularly, was better at Fenway. So with the fans in mind, I think it would be better to have it back downtown Boston. I know the our elected officials would love to see it back in the city itself as well. So, it's not really my call. That's the National Hockey League's, and this is really their event. We get to be the guest. As I said, I feel the bias.
Again, Charlie and Jeremy Jacobs, let's talk about your team. How do you feel about your team, Jeremy?
It's evolving. Let's face it, I haven't seen this many injuries ever in the history of I've only owned the team 40-some years, so I'm new to it. But I think we'll have a heck of a lot better second half of the year than we had the first half. In spite of the injuries, we find ourselves in pretty good position. And I think there's a lot of talent, unharvested talent there. Not just this year, but going forward. I like the way we've built this team. I like the way Cam and the group have moved it forward. I like what Charlie's done with it. I look forward to a good future. I think we're in a good place. Of all the franchises I see around, I like mine.
What do you think, Charlie? Are you due for a big move? You know, we've talked a lot about the roster. Sweeney's been open about saying that he's been looking, and you look at the roster, it feels like there's some gaps there in the top six forward group for sure, third line center. What do you look at? Do you want to make a move? Do you feel you have to make a move?
You know, I think where I sit, my job is really to encourage and support Don and Cam. If they have a decision and they feel like they want to make the move, I'm all for it. I also, you know, listen, I wouldn't be out of context to share that we've had the discussions that we have this window with Patrice and with David and the centers and the players that we have, and it's not going to last forever. So, and we have a number of young kids that are coming up. And I've got reports from the World Juniors in Western Canada. Just about, you know, we've got a player on just about every national team that's doing quite well. So, I think there's an opportunity there. It doesn't invite you, Michael. I'm not inviting you to get back on talk radio or get back to Boston and say, Charlie Jacobs said we need to make a trade. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I support whatever management decides to do, and we have had this context discussion about our window.
But you're conscious of Bergeron, Chara, that group.
They're part of our history. They're part of our of today's game. They're not tomorrow's game necessarily. Never had a GM or a coach that says, one more. So bear that in mind. It's every year I've heard the same thing, but I think I've never seen a youth movement like we have today.
I mean, we were just discussing this a second ago, but realistically, when you look at that window, what are we talking about in terms of, are we talking a couple of years? Do you look at it as a shorter window or a longer window? You're looking at it a couple or three or four?
I mean, what's your context for short, Tony?
Well, is it a two-year window or is it a four-year window?
I don't know. I think, what are we? We're coming up on 1,000 games for Patrice. I mean, there's some tread on the tires, right? but that's not to disparage him at all. That's just sure, to say what, where he's at, and we feel like we've got – we don't have another 1,000. We know that, right?
Yeah. Jeremy Jacobs, Charlie Jacobs joining us here on Felger and Mavs from South Bend, Indiana. Where we stand on salary and budget, do we have room to take on more money? Are you willing to take on more money for this year's team?
The money's not the issue here. That's been eliminated since the cap. I mean, we spend to the cap and figure every way around to spend more.
So, dude, it's always, you know, I always find that interesting because all of us Bruins fans, I personally, we've had a lot of back and forth on money and budget with your ownership, and I feel, you know, once you got the salary cap, you pretty much lived up to your word and spent to the cap for the most part. And yeah. That, you know, do you feel you've been vindicated on that? Because you used to say...
What do you mean the most part?
Yeah, what do you mean by the most part?
You've had some years where there's been a little bit of a gap.
We had a little room.
We had a little bit of room, okay? But for
what do we do with it? We usually spend it.
Well, for the most part. So do you feel vindicated that you, once you got your cap, you lived up to your word about spending?
I didn't feel vindicated. I think we've done the best we possibly can. There's never been a dollar number on that's made a difference.
You don't think in the past?
Before the cap?
Yeah.
Before the cap, we didn't spend crazy. You're right.
So, it's, you know, it's interesting. The cap has actually helped the Bruins because I think, I don't know. I just find it interesting. Once you got your cap, I feel like you lived up to your word about spending.
It's been competitive balance throughout the league. And you're seeing everybody spending pretty much to the cap.
So, how do you feel about the next CBA, and where do we stand with the players, and do you think things are on good footing, or is there going to be a problem here the next time around?
I hope not. I hope it goes forward. I mean, hey, let's face it. Everybody has flourished under the CBA as we have today. But, you know, I'm looking at it through my glasses. Somebody else might see it differently.
Thoughts about the stadium? Some big improvements here this year. Yeah. At the Garden, just some thoughts on
that. What was the impetus there, right?
Well, you know, if you think about the TD Garden, it's 24, 25 years there. So it needed an upgrade. And it's never really had a front door, for lack of a better term. You know, if you think about your way you've entered the Garden, it's always been walking a block in, whether it's to the east or the west of the building.
Right.
Today you can actually use a front door, and it looks – I'm very proud of it. Fantastic. I think the experiences – that both travelers, commuters, and event goers is drastically changed. And once it's done, once the actual development is complete by next November for phase one, it is going to be transformative, that entire area. Because in the north end, for the west end, there's really going to be, I believe it's going to bring the two neighborhoods together.
So that front door, as you call it, was that specifically your idea?
No, my goodness, no, I couldn't take... No, that's a bunch of architects sitting around a room of brainstorming about how do we make this experience better. So we're expanding the TD Garden itself, the footprint for the bowl. We're actually adding seats inside the garden itself this summer. And we wanted an experience where people could sort of actually look into the building. As if you notice now, it's got the glass curtain wall. You can actually see into the garden from North Station. We want people to be able to do that, to say, wow... I want to be in there. It looks like that's a pretty neat place to be, and it's coming to fruition.
What's your thought on the shelf life of the stadium? A lot of these new stadiums now, it feels like 30, 40 years, and they swap them out. They build new stadiums. You said now it's the 25th year, whatever it is?
Well, we opened in 95, so it's 23, 24 years.
We haven't stopped building.
Right.
We haven't. I mean, think about it. Over the 25 years, this organization, we built the original garden. Yeah, or the new original garden. And now he's been building since then. I mean, I don't know of another situation where we've spent more on redoing it than we did originally.
But obviously, this is you're thinking this is another 30, 40 years.
Well, yeah. You know, I tell you what, the mentality used to be, let's build a building, let's use it, and then 20, 30 years, we're done with it.
Right.
And that has not been our approach. Our approach is, let's build this building, and let's continue to develop it and reinvent itself. I mean, this is our... God, I've been here 13, no, I've been here more longer than that, 15, 16, but it's our third iteration of redoing all the premium seating. We're redoing every seat in the bowl this summer. I mean, it's really, it's reinvesting to make it a brand new experience.
Let me ask you guys one more, because I know you have to get going. Did you hear what the Dallas Stars CEO did last week?
Yes.
Which time?
Yeah. Okay. Well, just last week,
yeah.
He called reporters, Jeremy. He called reporters and said, why aren't you guys ripping Sagan and Jamie Benn? These guys have been effing horse bleep. Why are we struggling? It's pretty obvious. Our two best players. So the CEO called the reporter and absolutely blasted his players.
You'll be waiting a long time before we do that.
I was going to say, I'll give you my number, and you can do that anytime you want. But how do you feel about that management, Sal? Harry used to do things kind of like that.
I talked to Harry last night. He said he's not doing anything.
But what are your thoughts about that management style?
I think it's different. If it's effective, I think everybody will get in line and do it. But I don't think we need that kind of uproar. In our locker room is not that locker room.
And then Jamie Benn's response is, I don't play for them. Meaning I don't play for the CEO, I don't play for the owner, I play for the guys in the room.
Right.
How does that comment sit with you?
I think maybe he got done what he wanted to get done. You know, he got them binding together and saying, we're going to fight this ourselves. I mean, it may be smart. It may be a good way to do it. I'm going to watch it. If it works, we'll probably do it.
All right. I'll give you my number. Charlie,
we'll give you the specific studio.
Guys, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this.
A quick break. Back with more Felder Maz from South Bend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.